Good evening. We're going to go right into tonight's teaching. We have started teaching you on our last session on the seven stages of New Testament revival. They are, as we started last week, number one is times of revelation. Number two is times of repentance. Number three is times of refreshing. After the times of repentance, you can expect a time of refreshing. Then number four is times of revealing. Number five is times of restoration. Number six is times of reformation. And finally, we get to the times of the revivalists. I want you to understand that we are already in revival. Revival is not something that come and goes, because God always raises up a revivalist to keep. Remember, we said that revival is based upon the principle of what? Continuance. So God is not a God who hit and miss. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in St. John chapter number 8, concerning those disciples which believed on him, he say, if you continue in my word, see, if you what? Continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth would make you free. So tonight we're going to begin teaching you on times of repentance. Let us begin.
The second stage.
The second stage. Leading to the times of revival
is called the times of repentance.
The revelation of the ways,
workings,
and nature
of the Holy Spirit
requires drastic changes
on the part of the church,
or let's say on the behalf of all apostolic believers.
New wine.
New wine warrants a change in the what? Wine skins. Remember what Jesus taught. You don't put new wine in old wine skins.
Right.
The wine is new. So in order to preserve the wine, you have to have new wine skins. If you put new wine in the old wine skins, both the old wine skin and the new wine is wasted. Go ahead.
One thing for sure.
It is not God who needs to change. You need to think about that. One thing is for certain. One thing is absolutely sure. It is not God who needs to change, but it is us. You listening? Go ahead.
Because God boldly declares
in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 6, I am the Lord, and what? I change not. See, God doesn't change. Go ahead.
The coming in of revelation
brings light into our lives.
Change becomes a necessity.
Change is welcome.
Because change is seen as an important ingredient
to sustain and to maintain
a move of God in us.
Change no longer becomes
a painful process,
but an exciting adventure
because it brings joy
and fullness of blessings.
Revelation knowledge
is seen as the early rain
that comes upon the ground,
softening the soil.
The purpose of the early rain
is to help break up the fallow or the hard ground
for plowing.
There are two types of repentance.
Repentance is not only
the aspect of the confession of sins,
but It is, repentance is the turning away from that which is displeasing to God and choosing a lifestyle that honors and is pleasing to Him. Repentance is not just a mechanical act, but it is a lifestyle. Cultivating an attitude to continuously change until our lives are aligned to God's word and to God's will and purpose for us. There are two types of repentance. Number one is repentance from sins, and number two is the repentance from dead works. Both of these aspects of repentance, they are complementary one to the other. In fact, matured repentance is incomplete or not complete without these two aspects, even if the act of repentance is one that is accompanied by much what? Tears and emotions. Tears and emotions doesn't necessarily equate to repentance. It could, you just could be sorry you got caught. True. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
You're more sorry about being caught than being taught. Amen. Go ahead.
Repentance from sins.
It is the turning away.
From all known sin. And the simple sin habits.
The sin nature has been taken out of our born again, recreated human spirits, and we're now indwelt by who? The Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit cannot live in sin. So God, in the new birth, the spirit of man, you listening? Is signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Ghost through the word of God and by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Go ahead, daughter.
There still lies
a sin habit
in our souls
and in our bodies. Notice that. There still lies a sin nature in our what? Souls and in our bodies.
Repentance from
sins is to deal with this sin habit that's in our souls and in our bodies. As a matter of fact, the problem is not with the body, it's with the soul. Without the renewing of the soul, without the transformation of the soul, the sin habit that's in the body can never be broken. We oftentimes try to take care of the body and leave out the mind. You listening? But the scriptures teach us reaching the end of our faith, you listening, is the salvation of our souls. See, that's why the scriptures teach in James chapter 1, receive with meekness the engrafted word, watch this, which is able to save our souls. So in the new birth, our souls is not saved, nor our bodies. You listening? So we have to do something with our soul and bodies, according to Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3, which says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present what? Your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. There you have everything in its proper position right there. I can't present my body without the renewing of my soul. You listening?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
We need to deal with the lifestyle.
We need to deal with the lifestyle that give opportunities
to this sin habit
to manifest.
Our soul and our bodies
will undergo death
if the sin habit
still finds opportunities
to manifest itself in us.
Our spirits are set free
from sin
from the sin nature and is now alive and righteous. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to empower our spirits to rise up, to live a holy, wholesome life. Our spirits can then become a channel of the Holy Spirit to quicken our mortal or death-doomed bodies with life. When we, notice it's on us, not God, when we put to death the deeds of the body and the soul and begin to live a life that is free from any obligations to obey the flesh, then we are truly set free. Now, I want to encourage you to read Romans 6, 7, and 8, but in particular, Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 17. Go ahead. Our yielding to the Holy Spirit, indwelling in us, to energize our spirit and our communion with God. The Father is greatly enhanced when such a life of the Spirit breaks forth in us. We shall know our adoption as God's sons and daughters, having the same status with the Father as our elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. The scriptures teach we are heirs of God and joint heirs with the Christ. Heirs of God, joint heirs with the Christ. You listening? He came to lift us up where he is. Go ahead.
Only when our body and soul
is free from the obligations to obey the sin habit and have become yielded and led by the Holy Spirit into a life of sonship and communion, then we will fully know and understand the biblical adoption as sons.
There's no reality
of adoption as sons until the redemption of our bodies and souls is established through the effectual working of the Holy Spirit. This repentance from sin is to cause us to have a personal divine interview with the Master. It is like the first cleansing of the temple in Jerusalem. The first cleansing occurred during the early part of Jesus' ministry. This cleansing helps us to meet with the Master and to fulfill his requirements of our lives. The repentance from sins is obeying God's requirements of us. Number two, repentance from dead works. Repentance from dead works is the turning away from all things that are not profitable to God's kingdom and spirit life. So in other words, Paul made this statement, all things are lawful, but not expedient. You listening? See, everything don't fit into the category of sin. You listening? But it may be something that's hindering you from carrying out the mission of the kingdom because it has more of a priority. You listening? Actually, it's dead works, because it's not a faith. Go ahead. There are many legitimate needs and wants that's in our lives that we can do without. Our willingness to let go
of all lawful things
of all lawful, notice that, our willingness to let go of all lawful things of the earth,
to seek only
the profitable things of the Spirit,
constitutes
repentance from dead works.
We need to understand
that both good and evil
can come from the same tree,
called the tree of the knowledge of blessing
and calamity and good and evil.
When we rely
on the human mind
and human wisdom,
we are partaking from the tree
of the knowledge of good and evil.
The good
from the tree of the knowledge
is just as deadly
as the evil
that comes from the same tree.
Now, I know some of y'all can't handle that,
but here's a revelation.
There's a difference between doing a good thing and a right thing.
You see?
See, you have children, you say, go cut the grass, son.
But he never cleans up his room.
So instead of cutting the grass,
he cleans up his room.
He did a good thing, didn't he?
Right.
But he didn't do what?
The right thing.
Thank you for your enthusiasm.
Go ahead.
Often the good
becomes the enemy of the best.
The church must know the difference
between that which is good
and that which is God.
That's why Apostle Thompson and all of his apostolic training and teaching tell us that more than any other time in our lives,
we must walk in what?
Discernment.
We must be able to discern.
You listening?
That's why I use a term called I'm voice activated.
It's not what you're telling me.
It's the ink on what you're telling me.
As a matter of fact, sometimes it's not what you're telling me.
Most times it's what you're not telling me.
Yeah.
Y'all won't say amen to that.
Because people will tell you what they want you to know,
but not the whole story.
This is Paul Harvey.
The rest of the story.
Go ahead.
Without this discernment,
the church cannot mature
to its level of purity
and holiness.
Repentance from dead works
keeps us away
from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
We're learning to eat
of the tree of what?
Life.
Remember, both of those trees were in the midst of the garden.
And God did say, you may freely eat of all the trees
of the garden,
except
the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
I'm apt to believe that they ate from the tree of life.
Thank you for your enthusiasm.
Why did God ban them
out of the garden?
Because if they were to continue eating from the tree of life, they would have lived in that sinful state.
Thank you for your enthusiasm.
Now, we have the great privilege of eating from the real tree of life.
Today,
the Lord Jesus,
talk to me.
Go ahead.
We start to live
by every word
that proceeded out of the mouth of God.
And we start,
I got tongue tied, don't worry about it.
And we start to bring every thought into the captivity
and to the obedience of Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 10:5.
This repentance from dead works
is to walk with the master.
It is like the second cleansing of the temple.
The second cleansing.
Occurred during the latter part
of Jesus's earthly ministry.
This cleansing
helps us to walk with the Master
in intimacy
and wholeness
and soundness of relationship.
The repentance from dead works
is to willingly sacrifice
and sow our legitimate share of earthly privileges and benefits for a greater eternal course.
This life
is more than just sacrificing our bread to the hungry, but becoming the bread to feed the hungry. Did you catch that? We don't need to sacrifice physical bread. We need to become that spiritual bread. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. If you eat of me, you'll never die. Your fathers did eat the manna that God gave them from heaven, thank you, but they still die. Moses didn't give you that manna. My father did. But Jesus said, I'm the true bread that came down. And if any man eat of me, he'll never die. But don't worry, the church don't want to talk about that. Go ahead.
It is not just the fasting of food.
It is not just the fasting of food. But living, notice that term, living a fasted life.
A choice of lifestyle.
A choice of lifestyles. That desires the move of God.
And his kingdom.
It is a requirement
that we place upon ourselves
in order for us to be fully pleasing
to God,
who is indeed our what? Father. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, pray after this manner, our Father. He didn't say pray my Father or pray to the Father. He said pray to your Father. See, our is in your. I lost a few people. Go to spelling class. You'll catch it. Go ahead.
B, benefits of repentance.
The repentance from sins
brings us to meet with the Master.
It is an introduction
to the salvation
that is available to us
through Christ.
It opens up to us the opportunities
to experience
what Christ has done
for us on Calvary.
The repentance from dead works
brings us to walk with the Master.
It is an introduction
to our inheritance
that is available to us
through the finished work of Christ on the cross.
When he said it is finished, he made all of the benefits available to us.
It opens up
the opportunities for us
to possess what God has planned
and desired for us
through what Christ has done
on Calvary.
Principles of repentance from sins.
Repentance from sins
affects four major areas
of our lives.
In fact,
repentance in these areas
constitutes true repentance
of a saint.
These principles
are coming from Luke chapter number
15
verses 11 through 32.
The prodigal son.
Now, y'all read that. We don't have time to go into that. We got much to cover tonight.
Number one.
Repentance means we're what? Coming to our senses. You will find that in Luke 15, 11 through 32. The prodigal son, after he exhausted all of his inheritance through riotous living, you listening, found himself in a hog pen. Then he finally came to his senses, said, hell, I'm in the wrong place. Go ahead.
In coming to his spiritual senses,
the son
reflected back
upon the father's abundance
and his goodness.
His mind was being renewed.
He confessed
to his father his present state
of need and poverty.
His mouth was confessing his disobedience. his mouth was also confessing his disobedience.
He decided that he would return to his father.
His will was set to find ways. His will was set to find ways
to return home, which is where he belonged.
He felt remorse. He felt remorse.
And sad. And he felt sad.
That he had failed the father. That he had failed his father.
His emotions were being restored.
His emotions were being restored.
For normal functioning.
And he was convicted of his need
for the Father.
His spirit longed for and wanted the Father's restoration.
Rather than the world's
what? Resources.
Number two.
Repentance means I'm returning back to my Father.
And coming back to the Father.
The son made his own decision
to return to the Father.
He chose freely
and made the decision himself.
He was convicted of how his sins
had affected his relationship
with the Father.
He felt that he had lost his position
as a son.
And was only worthy to be a servant or a slave.
He was convicted
of how he had failed
as a son.
He knew that he was no longer
trustworthy as a son.
He chose to restore himself
to the Father
with no strings attached.
He was coming back.
But not because of privileges,
positions,
or blessings.
He had to come back
on the Father's terms
and not in accordance
to his terms.
He tried to suggest
how the Father should deal with him.
Repentance is coming back
on God's terms.
Not on our own grounds that we make up in our own minds.
A sadistic torture program.
Now, y'all know, y'all know, if we put ourselves through a lot of pain and, you know, no, that don't mean nothing. What they call that in the Catholic penance. Yeah, don't act like y'all don't know. 95 of y'all in here was Catholic. Go ahead.
Number three,
repentance is coming back
to the Father's house.
And coming back to the Father's house.
The Son was met by the Father.
He was restored by the authority.
He once offended.
The church leadership
should actively be involved
in this type of what?
Restoration.
He was clothed
with a robe.
He was covered under a what?
Spiritual covering.
That's what the robe represented.
And thus he was protected
from being a prey of Satan
or religious attacks.
He was given a ring to wear on his hand.
He was restored.
And he was brought under the subjection
of the authority in the house,
and that house is his Father's house.
The signet ring
speaks not only of authority,
but it also represents the chain of authority.
That he was going to live accountable to.
And he was given sandals to wear on his feet.
He was given a place of acceptance.
And restored in the relationship.
and restored in the relationship
as a son.
He was not accepted as a slave or as a servant or a visitor.
Because true repentance
brings full and complete restoration
of sonship.
In other words, back to the original place you were before you fell away.
Hallelujah.
Number four.
Repentance is coming back. To the father's family.
And coming back to the father's family.
The son had to meet with his brothers.
Challenge.
To his repentance.
Brother challenged his repentance. Go ahead.
He had to face all of those.
Whom he had offended.
And prove his sincerity.
In returning.
True repentance.
Not only.
Seeks reconciliation.
But it also assures. All of the parties who are offended.
The son had to receive
the father's sanction
and his protection.
He needed the father
to help him to be reconciled
to his brother
and to protect him
from further abuse
from the unforgiving congregation.
Y'all notice we need to have this taught in apostolic. That's why so many young men and young women cannot find their way home. Y'all don't want to talk right. They've been hurt. So they can't get restored because there's not enough matured people to know how to restore them. Go ahead.
He had to reestablish himself.
From the bottom.
He had to earn his respect
and testimony
because he knows
that the congregation
knew his past.
He knew some of them would retain the past
in their minds
and act in prejudice
towards him.
See, that's their problem.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all don't want to talk. See, go ahead.
D.
Repentance prerequisite
for possessing inheritance.
Without the redemption of the body,
there is no adoption as sons.
Without the adoption as sons,
we cannot share in the inheritance
that is reserved for us.
God said.
He would remove the curse
and bondage
of Egypt's life
so that the people
could become eligible
for their inheritance.
There are a few significant things
that happened in Gilgal.
They were told
that God has raised them up
in the place of those
who had disobeyed him
in the wilderness.
There was a new generation
who would not have the influence
of Egypt
and the bondage of slavery.
They were told to observe the Passover.
They were no longer provided with manna.
And they were circumcised.
To inherit the promises of God,
it would require a changed life
and heart.
Our walk and lifestyle must be changed
before God qualifies us
to possess the fullness of our inheritance.
The gifts that are manifesting in our lives
do not qualify us
to possess our inheritance,
but our obedience
and our willingness
to yield to God
and his ways. See, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. It's not just talking about material blessing. It covers blessing in every aspect of our lives. Go ahead. Eat. Principles for possessing inheritance.
Inheritance is reserved for sons only.
It is partaking of the Father's resources
and properties.
Number two,
knowing what our inheritance is.
It is good to know
what belongs to us.
Then we can stake a claim on it
intelligently.
It is impossible
to pursue something
that you do not know exists. That's why you got to go through times of revelation. Go ahead.
Number three.
Misunderstanding.
The Father's willingness
to share inheritance
with us.
God's willingness to share
the inheritance
with us
must not be misconstrued
to mean that we now have
a license for self-indulgence
and selfishness.
The goodness of God
and his prosperity
often, notice this now,
the goodness of God and the prosperity of God often test our hearts
and motives.
We often fail in success
rather than succeed through failure.
Number four,
the temptation to take
our inheritance before
its time.
Impatience
is often rooted
in selfishness
and is a sign of character faulting.
Number five.
Inheritance must be enjoyed
in the context of the family.
The problem with both of the sons
in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32
has to do with the inheritance.
One son took the inheritance
outside the context of the family.
In other words, he took his inheritance and went out there and lived like he was in the world.
And the older son,
who was faithful,
did not stake any claim
to his inheritance.
Enough.
It belonged to him,
but he didn't stake a claim in it.
Go ahead.
Number six.
And hold up.
Not only did he not stake a claim in it,
he was mad
that the one who wasted the inheritance
came back.
But there's a revelation in that.
When you get your inheritance,
you must know
the Father can never run out.
Go ahead.
Number six.
Love for the Father
must never be reduced
by the love for inheritance.
Our love for God
must not become overwhelmed
by our desires
and love for our inheritance.
Number seven.
Wisdom is needed
to administer,
to have stewardship
over our inheritance.
We must not
take our inheritance
out of the kingdom purposes.
Inheritance used
outside of God's purposes
become contaminated,
abused, or misused.
Number eight.
Godly lifestyles
enhances the usage
of our inheritance.
Satan will rob us
of our inheritance
if we start to live carelessly
in this world.
And number nine.
To live fully in our inheritance
we need to deal with the spirit of poverty.
The spirit of poverty
is a demonic sense knowledge
that plagues the human mind,
saying that all of the resources that we have is not going to be enough. All right, be sure to read chapter number 12. Enjoy the rest of your evenings.